stripped of me. I clung to James's hand. Why did he have to die? I sobbed. Why not take a useless fool like me, not a good man like him? Why couldn't I die instead? James loosed his hand and put his arm round me. He smoothed the hair away from my eyes. The good God must have other work for you to do, he said. James was not the kind of man to talk about God, and his words stuck in my mind, but at that time I just lay in his arms with his face close to mine and thought only of my own misery and not of his. He and Barney were identical twins, and he must have felt as if one of his limbs had been amputated without anaesthetic, yet he never mentioned his mother's or his own suffering. James was still nursing me against a damp overcoat when Mother returned from shopping. She could never tell the brothers apart unless she saw James limp, and she thought it was Barney sitting beside me. "Barney, how nice to see you! Leave at last!" James said, "I'm James." And Mother understood. "My poor darlings," she said. "Your poor mother." In her time, Mother had faced many crises, and she was wonderfully patient with James and me that day. It was she who remembered to telephone James's office. James was a solicitor, as was Barney, to ask his clerk to cancel his morning appointments, and it was she who later bundled him off to work, after letting him talk to her about Barney while she prepared lunch for him. "Is someone with your mother?" she asked. "My aunt is with her." "Then when you've eaten this, go away and work. Work is a good opiate." When he'd gone, she came and sat on my bed and talked to me. She did not talk about Barney, but about James, of his brilliant brain, his sensitiveness, and the sorrow he must be feeling. She said firmly that Angela, who is my younger sister, and I must help to comfort him and his widowed mother. I listened dully. At that moment I didn't care about anybody but Barney, and every time I thought of his lying blown to pieces in a German field, sobs shook me and I writhed in my bed so that the pillows grew damp and the sheets became hopelessly twisted. When Mother realized that it was too soon to divert my thoughts to other people, she sat quietly by me until Father and Angela returned from work. Perhaps she knew what I'd not realized, that James loved me more than Barney did, and maybe she hoped that when the pain had worn off, I would transfer my love of one brother to the other. Father came in and stared down at me with pitying eyes. "I am sorry, child," he said. He bent and kissed me. "Have courage, little girl." He went away to eat his dinner, and I heard the quiet murmur of his and Mother's voices in the room below. I heard also Angela's key in the lock of the front door and the patter of Mother's slippers as she went to meet her in the hall. I heard Angela give a little cry of anguish. Mother must have told her the news immediately, so that she did not blunder when she came up to see me. There was a pause, and then Angela's dragging footsteps up the stairs. Enwrapped in my own misery as I was, even I thought how tired she must be to come so slowly. Angela came into the room. She had taken off her hat and coat, but still wore the slacks and the overall she used in her work as a backroom girl. She had studied electronics, but none of the family really knew exactly what she did in the closely guarded government laboratory where much of her life was spent. She shut the door behind her and leaned against it. Her face was an unearthly white, and despite the heat of the sickroom, she was shivering. "Pegs." Her voice was only a whisper. She looked so stricken that I motioned her to come to me. I'd not imagined that my elegant, sophisticated sister had so much feeling in her, and I was jolted out of my self-pity. She came and sat down on the bed, her shoulders hunched, and her hands dangling hopelessly between her trousered knees. This ugly posture was enough to tell me how deeply she'd been affected by the news of Barney's death. Usually she sat very gracefully, with straight back and ordered hands. Suddenly she flung herself across me and wept, her breath coming in harsh gasps. I said nothing, feeling too full of grief myself to speak. "Dinner's ready, Angela," called Mother. "Give me a handkerchief," said Angela, looking up quickly, her sobs hastily stifled. I gave her a very wet handkerchief, and she wiped her eyes and blew her nose. She tried to smile at me, as she said, "Woman must eat as well as weep.